Australia's Energy White Paper released yesterday lays out the roadmap for continuing growth in Australia's export boom of coal and gas. But one of the world's most famous sustainability advocates says that policy is, quote, unethical and short-term. Jorgen Randers is co-author of the controversial 1972 report to the Club of Rome called Limits to Growth. And in his home nation of Norway, he's proposed a cap on exploration for oil and gas. He says that's an idea Australia should also consider, as our environment editor Greg Borschmann reports.
First, it was Rachel Carson and Silent Spring, the book that helped give birth to the modern environment movement. 6 years later, in 1968, The Population Bomb by Paul Ehrlich warned of the perils of overpopulation and the social, economic and political upheavals that would follow. Critics dismissed both books as alarmist. And that was also the reaction to the 1972 report to the Club of Rome called Limits to Growth. But Paul Ehrlich says some of the more dire scenarios in the report may eventually be proved right.
Well, I think the problem is one of what sort of timescale people look at. If you're an ecologist, you think of things happening over not just decades, but centuries and thousands of years. And of course, the limits to growth projections, they said that things were really going to get bad in the early part of the 21st century, and that's exactly what's happening. So it was much more accurate than any of us thought it would be.
Dr. Ehrlich is president of Stanford University's Center for Conservation Biology, and he's currently in Australia. He says Limits to Growth is still a must-read.
I think Limits to Growth is more relevant than ever, particularly because the one insanity that every politician, virtually every economist holds is that we can keep growing forever. So the very term Limits to Growth and what it means for all of us is extraordinarily important today.
Professor Jorgen Randers is the physicist and systems analyst who helped map out the scenarios for the report. 40 years later, Professor Randers says some of the worst environmental scenarios in Limits to Growth are now becoming reality. So if he had the power, what would he do to bring about more positive change?
Very simple. First of all, I would introduce the one-child family in the rich world. You know, population growth should be further curbed. You know, it's important to bring it down, and then you should do this in the rich world. It's rich children, which is the real problem. They consume 20 to 40 times as much as poor children. The second thing I would do is to ban the use of coal, oil and gas. Most of the greenhouse gases come from coal, oil and gas, and we should stop using it. And again, this should be started in the rich world, where we're using much more of this per capita than in the poor world.
Is this a conversation that you've been able to have in Australia? Because Australia exports a lot of coal and a lot of gas, and it's very difficult to have that argument.
Absolutely. And luckily, I come from Norway. We are even richer than you are because we have per capita much more oil and gas than you have. And we are, of course, our wealth, a significant part of it is based on oil and gas exports, which is as unethical and as useless and unhelpful as is your coal exports. You know, I get to talk to this in Norway with a tiny fraction of the Norwegian population who agrees with me. And in your country, I presume it is exactly the same, that it's a tiny fraction of people who understands that further development of the coal industry in Australia is actually a pretty unethical type of attitude, action, if you really are considering the fate of your grandchildren.
So in that sense, are countries like Norway and Australia doing themselves a disservice if they want to place themselves in a better position in 2050?
That is true. You know, we are doing things in the short term, and it is helpful that I'm a Norwegian, so I can speak about this in a foreign country without being too rude. You know, the two countries are doing exactly the same thing. They're increasing the well-being of citizens in the short term, being the next 10 to 20 years, at the cost of the well-being of grandchildren 50 years in the future.
So have you been able to raise this politically here in Australia with those corporations, with the politicians?
Not yet, but we have had presentations where this discussion has come up and where I am able to tell the audience and those who ask the questions that this is what I think. And I'm making the additional argument that the dislocations that would occur, I mean, if you stopped developing coal in your country, you know, they're so tiny that if there was societal agreement on these issues, you know, the restructuring and the re-employment of the people and the capital losses, etc., this would be a piece of cake. But I am stressing that I don't think this will happen. this would be a wonderful feat if it did occur in a coordinated manner, but I don't think it will. What I'm proposing in Norway is something where I don't know whether the equivalent exists here. It's basically that in Norway, instead of increasing exploration rates at this point in time in order to find even more oil and gas so that we can get even richer in the short term and help more Europeans, you know, burn our gas rather than their coal, we should at least lock exploration rates to a certain number of billions of dollars per year. This will, of course, in the long run, means that we will find less year by year, and then 10 to 20 years in the future, production of oil and gas will then slowly decline, and so that we will be out of the business, say, in 40 years, in a rather harmonious manner. There are groupings in Norway that are in favor of such a solution, but they are, of course, tiny.
Why will that choice not be made in countries like Norway and Australia? Is it greed? Is it ignorance?
For a significant part of my life, I thought it was ignorance. You know, I thought that education actually would help in democratic society to make decent policy politically feasible. At this point in time, I don't think so. In our country, we have had free education from the kindergarten to the PhD level for 60 years now. You know, in an egalitarian society with small differences and free healthcare and the whole schmear. Still, you know, 20% of the Norwegian voter doubt the reality of climate change. So education won't help in itself. You need something else.
Professor Randers says he's resigned to the fact that his work has been a failure because the world is not a more sustainable place. It's why he's trying to be clear-eyed and logical about trends for the next 40 years. Unfortunately, he doesn't like what his crystal ball gazing has produced.
My basic attitude is that I'm now 67. I've spent 40 years working for sustainability and in total vain, if you're really honest about it. The world is less sustainable at this time than it was 40 years ago when I started the effort.
So where is that leading you?
It led me first to try to make a forecast about what will actually happen. And this is my description of what my world is going to look like over the next 40 years. I'll die midstream. And I see, luckily, a future which does not entail total collapse of Western civilization within the next 20 years. The society will move in a very undesirable direction and we will trigger climate crisis in the second half of this century.
In a sense, there is an inevitability to what you are now saying. And it is a somewhat bleak scenario because you're saying that what we will experience will not be a smooth halt, that we've already overshot the end point and have been in unsustainable territory for decades. That's telling us that collapse is coming, isn't it?
Yes, it is. But when I did all the math and all the modeling and all the quantitative back of the envelope type of calculations, it seems to me that the collapse comes after, in the second half of this century, not in the first half of this century. In my view, we will not succeed in making the economy so big, and we will not have such a big population, and consequently, emissions will be lower. We will still pass 2 degrees centigrade in the middle of the century, and we will reach 3 degrees in the middle of the second half of the century. It's still not slow enough that we will avoid the climate crisis.
That's Jorgen Randers, Professor of Climate Strategy at the BI Norwegian Business School, ending that report from our environment editor, Greg Borschmann. And Professor Randers is currently touring Australia. His latest book is 2052, A Global Forecast for the Next 40 Years.